Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, and it's time for your TNA Impact 20th anniversary post show. It's June 6th, 2024. I am Adriel Pearl, and of course, Cresta the Star is with me. How are you tonight, Cresta the Star?
I feel amazing. I'm excited to talk about TNA. I hope you guys are excited to talk about TNA with us. Joel, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm tired, but I'm here and I'm excited because tonight's episode of TNA Impact was a fun one. I was mentioning in the crossover, which audio friends may not get, but you can if you subscribe to us over at youtube.com/Fightful, where we do this live. I was saying that this is an interesting show because not only do they get you ready for Against All Odds, which is in about a week and a day, but also they did a good job of hearkening back to the old school Impact logos and designs and all of the intros and graphics. That stuff ruled. I loved seeing that. The show itself, it was fine. I do kind of agree, chat saying Impact 1000 had better energy. I think the energy was different. And it's not a bad thing. But Impact 1000 did have something special attached to it. What did you think overall, 20th anniversary of Impact? Was it something that got you excited or was it just kind of there and it was another show?
I too said this during the crossover. I didn't really feel like it was an anniversary show. It felt like it did set up things going into Against All Odds, definitely with the end with Joe Hendry showing up and then again with Matt Hardy. However, I do agree with the sentiment that Impact 1000 felt a little bit more special. Impact 1000 felt like what tonight should have been. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe it was a little bit too impromptu. Sometimes things happen. And TNA is good for, okay, we didn't do anything for this date. But TNA 476 randomly, we got you, girl. We're going to do something really special. So I'm not too worried about it. It just didn't feel like an anniversary show.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that and the rest of the show tonight. And of course, we'll talk about FightfulSelect.com. But in the meantime, how about you leave a thumbs up on the video? If you're listening to us in audio form, go ahead, drop a 5-star review wherever you're listening right now. That gets us a little bit closer to hitting more friends, more wrestling fans to talk about us here on Fightful.com. And of course, all of our subsidiaries, whether it's Overbooked, Select, all the other stuff that we do here at Fightful. And of course, why haven't you left a comment yet? Huh? Leave a comment. Get in the chat. Maybe you're live and listening to us. You want to drop super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, or you go to humperchats.com. Cresta, tell them how, when, why, and all the stuff.
Hey, you listen. It doesn't matter if you're listening in audio form or visual form. Listen to me. Hey, you listening? Okay. Go to humperchats.com. humperchats.com. Type your comment in and make sure you put TNA and be like, Cresta, Joel, you told me to do this and I felt scared, so I did. You put your dollar amount in. If we're live, we'll read it to you live on air. We'll read it. We'll give you our 2 cents that you may or may not have asked for. We get to keep most of that 2 cents. We're happy. Sean's happy. The lights stay on. Humperchats.com. I'll choke you. If that's what you're into, consensually, of course.
I'm sorry, you're what?
choke you. You know, when you, you know, like nope, what Khan does, you know, when he throws people up out the ring, you know, you know, with consent, of course, you know, I'm trained. I'm trained. Not a wrestler, but I'm trained.
Okay. Okay. Impact opens up with Jake something defeating Khan. Big Khan, big chokes, big dudes doing big dude things. Match is fine. I like, this was a little, okay. Throughout the night, you'll see little, little connections between the original episode of Impact and 20 years later being this episode. I love that Jake Something, who uses the black hole slam, doesn't call it that, but it is the Abyss Black Hole Slam, uses the same move to defeat Khan, and they make reference on commentary to the first match ever on Impact Television, where it was Abyss versus Sharkboy, and Abyss gets the win with the black hole slam. They do the same thing, same finish, first move, first used, first match, good stuff. Jake Something beats Khan. Post-match, this is where things get a little strange. Khan attacks Jake Something, choke slams him, like Cresta was saying, loves to choke, and then threatens to snap his neck, again, loves to choke. And then Eric Young comes out. He makes a save. Don't know why, but then EY comes out and he does the rah-rah thank you speech. Thank you for 20 years of Impact, and thank you for being fans. And we get it. At this point, Eric Young is very much the locker room leader outwardly at TNA, and that's great. It just felt a little disjointed, especially when he says he was drinking a liter of bourbon. Cresta, the match, the post-match, your thoughts?
The match itself, great. I will say whichever company makes a meat division will have my love and devotion forever, because the crowd tonight was chanting meat every time these guys were lariating each other. Great. I mean, forearms, sorry. Great. Stiff, amazing. I think Jake Something winning here was the right call. I don't think Khan looks bad in defeat. Totally there with you with the Eric Young thing. Okay, I like Eric Young comes out to save the day, cuts a speech. What does that have to do with anything? And then when they zoomed out to the wide shot, you could still see Khan standing there. I'm like, Khan, go to the back, girl. Why are you still standing there? Be like Jake Something and Dan. What? I don't know. It was a little odd. I'm never going to be mad to see Eric Young. I just think the transition one into the other, I would have rather you give the match a little bit more time or a proper finish. You know what I mean? I don't get it.
I understood that this was the first match of the night, or at least the first match of their airing. So maybe this was the middle match of the tapings. And this is when they brought out EY just to have a little fun and get the crowd back on their feet. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. I could probably ask if I wanted, but at the same time, this was the first match of the show. They needed to set the tone, and maybe they just didn't want to have Eric Young come out, cut a random promo, and then go to the back introducing Jake Something and Khan. Maybe they'll do Khan versus EY down the line. Maybe that's where we're going. But for now, it just felt very disjointed. It just kind of happened.
It kind of is like, I don't know. I don't want Eric Young versus Khan because I feel like that's a violent by design. And I think we're finally getting to a place where Khan is free. Dean is doing something. I don't know what Dean is doing, but he's doing something. And Eric Young is always going to be Eric Young. So I low-key don't want that, if that makes sense. Because I feel like we're past that. We've moved on.
Okay, I can get behind that. We got a super chat from Andy Nguyen saying TNA needs more roster. They've got a pretty good base, and they're pretty good at bringing in special guests for their tapings. I don't know if TNA needs needs more people that are always there. I think they make really good choices with the stars they choose to push forward. I don't know if you have anything to add on that.
I don't think that they need more roster. I do think that they need maybe a reimagining of their roster. One of my complaints recently has been the Knockouts tag division and the tag division right now. There are tons of single stars who, for one reason or the other, can't be near the X division or even the digital media for that matter. So I think the tag division really could use some sprucing on both sides. So I don't think necessarily that they need more people, just a reimagining. Maybe one or two more tag teams, especially for the Knockouts women, couldn't hurt. But even then, I feel like there's only so much taping time, you know? That's what I'm thinking of, like how much time they're going to put into the storylines that they do have and then adding more people. And then there's still people that we still haven't seen. Savannah Evans, Jay Vidal, just to name the Shaw Taraj. I haven't seen them in a while unless they're on Explosion, which I guess I now could watch on TNA Plus, you know?
They're not, but you can watch it on YouTube too. They're not. They're not around. The idea of women's tag teams. I was thinking about this the other day. Every company that seems to do women's tag teams in any way, shape, or form, there aren't enough women's tag teams to go around. And we always talk about how they just kind of get thrown together as a team and randomly win. I don't know if that's because there is just a lack of just general interest in booking women's tag teams across wrestling right now, or if it's a lack of interest in general and just paying lip service to people who are wanting women's tag teams. That's not a knock at anyone. I quite enjoy the Knockouts division as well. And I enjoy the WWE women's tag division. I enjoy the women's tag team matches that they run on AEW and also in the NWA. I just wonder how much the emphasis or the lack of emphasis plays a role in those women wanting to form tag teams and work in a tag environment.
Maybe this is me being a lapsed newer fan's opinion, but like I will always come back to the example of the Bar. Franken teams can work, but you gotta want them to, you know? So an odd couple can work. Like I thought if we're switching over to WWE for a second, a Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax tag team should be running roughshod on your division. What do you mean? You know what I mean? Even with TNA, when I think of Havoc and Rosemary, yes. Even when you had Savannah Evans and Tasha Steelz, yes. I think everyone has their own dreams of being world champion, and nobody wants to be a tag team specialist unless you're FTR for the rest of your life. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just think that if you don't book them compellingly, no one's going to care. And I look at me. Look, I'm going to use myself. Look at me and Steve Macklin. I used to be like, meh. And now I'm like, yo, is this guy out? He cooking, he working. A good storyline. All it takes is to switch someone's opinion, but you've got to book them. And I also understand that, again, the time constraints, you can't book everyone. So I wouldn't want to add more people. I would just want you to care about the division, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense, because if you don't show love to your division and you don't build that division, then what are you building? What are you doing? And as other people are pointing out in the chat, you know, it feels like it's two in, two out when it comes to the amount of teams that are pushed. And we see that frequently in TNA. And that's not necessarily, it's an ongoing issue, but it's not a bad issue. It's just a problem when it becomes obvious. Like when Spitfire was put together and then they named the team and then they gave them Lars Fredriksson and they gave them new music. It was like, all right, we know what we're doing. Just give them the tag titles. And that's exactly what they did. Now, who's the next team that's going to do that? I like the idea, we talked about this, that Masha and Lish are together. Masha and Lisha have the tag titles, but there's zero emphasis on their tag team. And now Danny Luna and Jody Threat want to get the titles back, but they're also teasing some sort of dissension through Lars Fredriksson. So it's like, we're just going to split them up and what? Do it again. Killer Kelly comes back. That's another side of the equation when it comes to Masha and Lisha. So there are stories to be told, but it feels like a lot of them are just coming from singles wrestling.
Yeah, and I think, again, the problem with tag team wrestling across the board with the two in, two out, you can't do two in, two out when there's only three people there. You know what I mean? You've got your champion, you've got a challenger team that the challenger team is going to beat, and then the jabroni team is going to come after this team wins and this team is on its way out. Like, that's the formula everywhere around, and it's kind of like, you can't do that. Like, you got to make people care. If you book it with care, people will care. And I've seen every company book people with care. So I can I say this? Can I say lazy booking? Can I say that? Because that's how I feel. Lazy.
You're allowed to feel that way. It's and it's not necessarily lazy in a way that we're like, oh, it's the everything sucks. It's more like,
yeah.
I use this analogy a lot of spinning plates, that when you have so many plates that are spinning in the air, you have to continue going back to spin the plate that maybe didn't get as much emphasis and as much love as another plate. So you're kind of consistently trying to keep all the plates floating and spinning, but eventually one's going to teeter totter. And that's right now, maybe the Knockouts tag team division.
No, that's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. And again, I think this is not just a critique of the Knockouts division. Dear Cat, I love you to death, but not right now. I think this is a critique, not of just the Knockouts division, but of also like tag team wrestling everywhere as a whole. Like, I want them to be booked more compellingly so people will care. I think it's dinner time because I never see a Johnny and she's like, hey, mom, I'm hungry. We always see fat Bully Ray, and this cat is elusive, so I know something's up.
Have you not fed your cats today?
Oh, they're on a schedule. They're just antsy.
I know the feeling. I haven't eaten today. I get it. GML is backstage with Frankie Kazarian. The system requested the Kazarian faces Nick Nemeth tonight. And I like where this is going. At first, I'm like, why would Frankie do a match with Nemeth? And they didn't really explain it until this segment. The system walk in and Lish does her "no one can understand you" with that accent bit with Gia Miller. And I chuckled. It's stupid. I love it. But Myers mentions, you know, it's a benefit to be friends with the system. Mentions Masha Lisha. And then Kazarian, you know, talks about deserving a main event on Impact because he was the first main eventer, and then he's going to get a title shot against Moose. And Moose is like, listen, you take care of Nick Nemeth, you get the title shot. And I love that Kazarian throws it back and he's like, you got to beat Matt Hardy first. And it's like, all right, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way it's going to be. They walk off, they set the tone that this match was requested and that there's something down the line for Kazarian and Moose. What do you think of this whole segment?
Like you said, it made sense because I was thinking, like Gia Miller said, since when does a king take orders? And that's when Masha Lisha. This was like, hey, knock that off. That thought that was quite funny. And it's crazy that a Jersey girl is telling a girl from down south, a girl from Boston is telling a girl from down south, no one can understand your accent. Madness. No, it was good. It was good. It was good. It didn't make a lot of sense. I'm also actually surprised Frankie Kazarian didn't make Gia introduce him as the king of TNA because he was really punk and Jade. And I don't like that. Still doesn't sit right in my spirit.
From Boston. Sorry. this again, it sets up a really, really good story down the line between the system and Kazarian. And of course, Lisha doing this stupid Boston accent, can't, you know, well, that's her accent, but playing into it and be like, I can't understand because of your stupid accent. It's like, it's so stupid, but it's so perfect. And we keep running it back and it's just what I need. And then they go to commercial. Gia Miller's then standing with Steph DeLander. Wedding. It's happening. If Speedball gets a big match at Slammiversary, PCO gets a big wedding at Slammiversary. The love letter is finally opened and it says "oui ou non" for those who don't speak French. Yes or no. It is a child's "do you like me" circle, yes or no. And then Zaya Brookside's like, oh, it was nice, it's very sweet. And then she tells Steph DeLander to take a week and reflect on it, and Steph's like, fine, I'll do it. And you got to deal with cats. This is why you need your headphones back.
Ooh, it was in the skin. That nail was in the skin.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to kick and complain to the altar. No, I did not want to hit we. I wanted to hit no. I mean, Zaya, mind your business. First of all, why are you coming out here? Don't make this last a long week. Zaya, mind your business. Like, no one asked you for the Zaya. Mind your business. I mean, I'm going to kick and scream to the altar, but it'll be worth it once Matt Cardona comes out that cake.
Oh, God, the cake? Oh, I wasn't thinking about cake, but now I'm all about it.
Yeah,
people are talking about foods. People have been talking about good foods all night that I want. Who should be the best man? Someone's asking in the chat. who would be the best man at it? Well, it should be Cardona, but I mean, if you're going to do a surprise that he comes out, takes out PCO, oh man, the bride, the bride obviously is Steph Lander. The maid of honor becomes Zaya Brookside.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Who's and you PCO's have a best man?
Sammy Callahan, because he was spawned from a septic tank.
It's not a bad idea. So stupid. I love it. It's gonna be like Johnny Bravo. Where's Dirty Dango? Damn it.
Dirty Dango would not be involved in this because pro wrestling sucks and he hates it. Why would he be involved in this?
Because this isn't pro wrestling. This is sports entertainment.
Grrr.
I can't wait to see it. Anyway, we'll see what they do. Listen, they gotta do a wrestling wedding out of this. I'm sorry, that's just the rule. And if I'm there live, I'm gonna be over the moon. It's gonna be great. Meanwhile, I'm over the moon because Giselle Shaw's back. She defeats our good old pal Shazza McKenzie, Sean Ross Sapp's bestie as well. New theme song for Giselle, and now she's built from being from the Northwest Territories, which I did not expect to hear tonight. Shout out to the Northwest Territories of Canada. Gail Kim's reacting and watching backstage. It's a good, solid match. Giselle looks crisp. Shazza sells like $1 million. The denouement gets the win. Shazza drops the match, but has a good showing. And Giselle Shaw's back and is clearly on the warpath. What do you think of this match and the return of Giselle Shaw?
Giselle was stiff before, but boy, oh boy, she worked this match like she had something to prove. Shazza was great. And I'm like, damn, that's the girl that beat up my boss. That's crazy. That's crazy. Damn, that's crazy. But no, this match was great. I think this was a great showing back for Giselle Shaw. The new music, even the gear is kind of different. I'm like, okay, I live. I can't wait to see where this is going. Eventually, I think I'm on borders, like you said. If this leads to a re-retirement match, because I think Gail Kim retired or she didn't or whatever it is, with her and Giselle, that match is going to be phenomenal.
If I'm in the head of Gail Kim, Impact 1000, she was in that big multi-woman knockouts match. And unfortunately, she suffered a concussion in the match. She had a rough bump and she finished the match. She's okay overall. But if I'm in the head of Gail Kim, that can't be the last one. That cannot be the last match. You got to do one more and you got to pass the torch one more time, one right time. And it looks like they're trying to make Giselle Shaw the quintessential knockout. No longer diva, now the knockout, the quintessential knockout. That's where it's going. That's where I would like to see it go. I'll sit that again.
I agree. I agree with that 100%. I would like to see it go that way as well. And honestly, I think, and I don't want to put this juju out into the air, but I think it'd be advantageous for TNA to start building their next round of stars. You know what I mean? I will talk about it more in detail when we get to the Jordynne Grace match, but I think Giselle Shaw being in a top spot, and no one would question it. She's earned her stripes. She can wrestle. She can go the distance, and the girl, she can go. She can go. So I think what they're doing with her is very smart. Very smart.
And she's been close to the mountaintop. This isn't something that we haven't seen before with her. So this might be just the beginning of Giselle Shaw's real opportunity. We got a super chat from Jana saying, I love Giselle's new presentation and entrance music. If Jordynne Grace ends up leaving, I want her as the face of the division. Give her the title, not Ash. We'll talk about her in a little bit. Jordynne still has about a year left on her deal. So I don't think she's going to leave anytime soon because contracts. But if you're going to pass the torch, you start with Gail Kim. And you move up to the Knockouts Championship. That's a story worth going for. That's a story worth telling if Jordynne Grace decides that her time is finished at the end of her contract. And Giselle Shaw also decides to stick around because she also might have other options on the table that she would want to explore down the road. There's a lot of opportunity here. If you give her the title, I don't think anyone would complain.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And that was actually the point I was going to make for the Jordynne Grace match. It's like, let's say Jordynne Grace is like, you know what? I would like to see what I can do elsewhere. I've done all I felt I wanted to do here in TNA, which I can completely respect. She's worked her butt off on this brand, and I think she's amazing there. And I could respect whatever she decides to do. Having someone like a Giselle Shaw, a Tasha Steelz, you build up your Savannah Evans. Because if you think about it, within 2 years, you would have lost Deonna Purrazzo, Chelsea Green, and Jordynne Grace, and Taya Valkyrie.
Yeah, in a couple of years, they've had a lot of turnover in the Knockouts division. And they've cycled through a few women as well. So Giselle being that person, 3 years, 4 years later, Mia Yim's another one who came in for a cup of coffee, and Trinity as well came in for...
I was about to say Trinity as well.
Yeah, they've both come back and had an impact, no pun intended. And now it's time to rebuild that division. I think when we got that super chat earlier that mentioned more roster... The Knockouts division is one of those you need your tentpole stars, and then everyone else is an extra. I think that's where you go. We had a Humper chat from Feeling Dreepy saying about the women's tag team stuff, saying every women's tag decision seems to have three teams at a time, one thrown together, a pair of mainstays who never win anything, and whoever the champions are at the moment. And when the champions lose, they go away, and another thrown together tag team is made. I couldn't have put it better myself. That's the way it seems to be. It's not TNA specific. It happens in WWE as well. The NWA has also had a few of those. Honestly, one of the only tag teams that I continue to see as a tag team are the Hex. And they're both on tonight's show in some way, shape, or form.
You know what's crazy? When I first started watching wrestling, I used to complain about how annoying the Iconics were. And now that it's like, what, 4 years removed, I miss the Iconics. I miss the Riot Squad. I miss actual women's tag team. I miss the Inspiration even, bro. I miss the Influence. There are mainstay women tag teams, but you're absolutely right. There's your Franken team, the tag team that never win nothing, and then your champions who sometimes, oftentimes, not looking at you, WWE, but looking at you, WWE, is it someone who can't be near the championship right now and an up-and-comer?
We'll see who comes up next. Rosemary has her backstage segment. She's talking to herself again. She's all alone. Her friends are gone. There's a photo of Father James Mitchell because of where he was involved with the Dark Realm forever and ever. Amen. And says those responsible will pay. I'm waiting. I'll put it like that. I'm waiting to see where they go with this. Rosemary has been around Impact TNA for a number of years. I said this before, there is opportunity there to reignite the Rosemary story and Rosemary character the way it started, but they're really slow burning it. Maybe it against all odds, she comes out. Maybe she's the next challenger for Jordynne Grace. That could be it because Jordynne Grace does have an open challenge. Of course, there's reporting out there that, you know, the NXT crossover stuff doesn't just happen on NXT and that it could be coming to TNA. We don't know. Rosemary is another name, though, that could potentially be an open challenge adversary for someone like Jordynne Grace. What do you think of this segment? Did it spark your fancy or was it just kind of there?
Honestly, I don't know what the hell Rosemary was talking about this segment. I respect Rosemary. I think she is a phenomenal wrestler, but she's like, we are gods and gods don't fail and everyone will pay. But I'm like, who's everyone? I'm so confused. I'm going to let it play out because I have faith. No matter, Rosemary can do no wrong, but I wasn't sports entertained. I was sports confused. So
I get it. I do. Macklin and Santana are backstage. The Rascals jumped both men last week. And now Macklin thinks that him and Santana should be working together to take out the Rascals. And Santana, I like this, cuts him right off. He's like, no, I'm not doing any of this tag team wrestling shit. I'm done with that. And that's real life too, right? Santana decided I want to take a bet on myself. I want to go singles. I don't want to do the tag team stuff. And Macklin's like, I don't trust people either. I don't like people either, but I'm not going to attack people from behind. I'll attack them to their face. There's one thing that Santana and Macklin have both said in interviews, and that is that they did not realize how closely the two resemble each other's stories, despite having different backgrounds. Their wrestling stories are similar. And I love that they're playing off on this here. And then Macklin eventually convinces him, and against all odds, it'll be the Rascals taking on Macklin and Santana. Next week on the show, it's Santana versus Zachary Wentz. There's some good stuff here. What do you think of this backstage segment?
I feel Santana's pain when he said, yo, I don't think you're the only one who didn't get the memo. I'm not doing it. And I can understand. It's the same way I felt about Allen Angels. I just got out of a group. I don't want to be in another group. I just got out of a bad breakup. I'm not trying to date anybody. Thank you so much. No, thank you. However, if the Rascals have proven anything, they're annoying and they're going to keep attacking you. So one time, poor Santana, if wrestling has taught me anything, there's no such thing as one time. This is going to be a best 2 out of 3 match until Santana says enough is enough. No mas. So we'll see. I don't think it's one time, though. I feel bad for Santana because I'm already pissed for him. I'm pissed for Macklin, too, because the Rascals are going to be the reason why this is not a one-time thing.
I would like for this to end with Macklin and Santana casting off the Rascals, being done with it, and then saying, you know what? You and I have some shit to deal with. You and I are going to fight because we still want to see who's the best in this company and who deserves a spot. And then the story changes from mutual hatred to a bit of mutual respect based on the ability to find common ground and also the healthy competition that comes with it. I don't necessarily need both men to suddenly be baby faces and rah-rah friends, but I think the respect there would lead to a much stronger story in a match where they're not just trying to kick each other in the dick at the end. Not that they have yet.
That's fair. No, I could see that too. I think that'd be a nice layer to the story. I don't hate that.
Yeah, and both men are perennial world champion qualifiers. Like, they are perennial world champion contenders, I should say. There's no reason why either man wouldn't get a shot. But right now, they're jockeying for position, and that's what you want to do with two strong personalities and two strong wrestlers. You let them go, and you let them have those matches and those moments that prove which one is better than the other. It's good stuff.
Good shit, pal.
Speedball Mountain defeat Mustafa Ali and Campaign Singh. Again, I love the idea that Campaign Singh was just sitting in the back, just being like, my name is Champagne Singh. Oh, the H gets rubbed off. It's Campaign. I got an idea. That's how I think that it all came together. This match is fine. This match is good. This is obviously a bit of a promotional material, a little bit of a look ahead to next week and Against All Odds on Friday, because it's going to be Trent Seven taking on Mustafa Ali for the X Division Championship in Mustafa Ali's hometown of Chicago. But really the big moment here was that the 7-star lariat into the Birminghammer from Trent Seven onto Campaign Singh, while Ali has to watch it.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
And then Seven gets the win over Ali. Well, you know, not really. He pins Singh. That's what I meant to say. It's been a late night. Speedball Mountain win. What'd you think?
It was a good match. I do enjoy Speedball Mountain when they wrestle. I'm sorry, my brain just blue screened for a moment.
Hell yeah.
I always try to put on my friends to the gospel of wrestling. So one of my female friends who doesn't know jack squat about wrestling or TNA was like, that man with the silver hair has great hair. And I'm like, yes, but you see that bald guy? He's going to take the pin. And that silver hair guy, he's going to pin him. And she's like, how do you know that? I'm like, because this is wrestling and the silver hair guy is going to lose to the other guy with the nice hair, not the mullet, the burgundy pants. He's going to lose and the mullet guy's going to want to challenge him. You got to use your noodle. And listen, sometimes I don't want to be right, but you know, it was an entertaining match. I was sports entertained. Ali, man, that Trent Seven and Ali is going to cook. Ali versus Speedball is going to slap harder than it has any right to. Nothing against Campaign Champagne, Mr. Singh. Nothing against him. He did what he was supposed to do because he's beating the crap out of Speedball in the beginning. However, again, I cannot wait for the eventual Speedball versus Ali match because that is some 205 Live X Division wet dream shit. Pardon my French, oui.
And it's going to be fun and it's going to be exciting. And there's one thing that needs to happen between now and that match, and that is the stipulation of the Secret Service being banned from ringside because they continue to get involved and cost the opponent the match, and Ali sneaks out a victory. Happened again tonight with the Secret Service getting involved, I should say. Ali gets a DDT on Speedball because one of them creates a distraction, and then one of them gets down on the hands and knees and allows Ali to kind of turn it into a tornado DDT. They need, if it's going to be Speedball and Ali, Ali's going to say, I don't want your Secret Service at ringside. They have been a problem, blah, blah, blah. And then Ali's going to say, okay, but you got to beat one of them. And one of them is probably going to end up being some big jacked up dude that they bring in for 1 week. And hopefully a name, or it's going to be someone who's part of the cabinet, quote unquote. There's got to be some sort of storyline beat there where they get rid of the Secret Service going into a match at Slammiversary. I just don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know how we get to that point, but the Secret Service has to, they got to go. They got to go. Because like you said, they keep meddling and Ali will sneak out, blame them. He'll always use it as an out. I mean, he's already said there should be age limits on the X Division before he tried to say there were weight limits on. Ali is just, this is the best. Equally the worst, equally the best.
There's some good storytelling in this match, had it as well, because Speedball spent a lot of the time in the match along with Campaign Singh, and you know that it's going to end up being Ali and Speedball down the line, and that's exciting. That's great. They didn't give you as much of that as they did Trent Seven and Ali. They did a little preview spot there. So I'm looking forward to the match that's happening next week with Trent Seven and Ali. But down the pipeline, if they're going to do Speedball and Ali, that's, I think, going to get a lot of people excited. Anything to add? I'm guessing no.
No, I'm trying to get to my mute button. Okay, so like my mouse is really fast and I don't know how to change it to slow it down. So the ADHD.
Control D. That's your hotkey.
If I do it and I Alt F4, I'm going to be so mad.
Don't do that. Use Control D.
All I did was mute me.
Yeah, that's what you're trying to do.
Oh. I'm
trying to help you.
I'm going to hell now.
Yeah, maybe it'll come with a pair of earbuds. Knockouts world title is on the line. Jordynne Grace defeats Allyson Kay, retains her title. Iceman, sorry, the personal concierge brings out our good buddy Ash. By elegance, she's wearing the same dress that the mannequin wore last week. God bless. The muscle buster. From Jade, from Jordynne Grace, not from Jade. Why am I thinking that? Jade's in my other notes. I'll explain in a minute. The muscle buster from Jordynne Grace, fantastic. The callback to Samoa Joe, the callback to Impact TV, good stuff there. Powerbomb, juggernaut driver, quick match, solid match. Ash looks on. Allyson Kay looks good. Marty Bell was there, got involved. What do you think of the match? And I have at least one more comment, but go ahead.
Jordynne Grace can do no wrong. I thought this match was fantastic. We're going to be positive, Crystal. We're going to be positive.
No, be the hate.
I don't know what we're doing with Ash for Elegance.
You're giving her that title.
I'm not interested. I want to be. I don't know. I do like the continuity with the mannequin dress. I do like that. I was like, you guys, you stupid. You're so stupid for that. That's slutty. However, I don't think this added anything to the match. Jordynne Grace putting that tall ass girl in that muscle buster is hilarious. Now that's sports entertainment. That is sports entertainment. And it, honestly, now that we're here, I want to make the point that I was making earlier. If I was not around for the purge of TNA's main roster by WWE. And now I fear that with Jordynne Grace doing business, which I think is great. I love that TNA is having this moment. In my mind, Drew McIntyre versus Joe Hendry, it's right there. It's right there. However, I am worried that TNA's main roster is going to get like it did before. And that is a real worry of mine because, like, I want everyone to make money. Absolutely. 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 But, like, don't work yourself into a shoot, brother. Love HHXOXO. You know what I mean? Like, I think Jordynne Grace should win against Roxanne Perez. I think it'd be a nice thing. Show goodwill. However, I think, again, if there is any sort of civil unrest in the back, you need to make sure you lock in those lyrics, TNA, because I would hate for your main event scene to be gutted. But also, I would hate for Josh Alexander to be on NXT. That would boil my balls. I want to see Josh Alexander versus Seth Rollins. Respectfully, I don't want to see him versus Trick Williams. Respectfully, Trick Williams is phenomenal. But I think Josh Alexander and Jordynne Grace's main roster caliber. That is just my two cents.
I've been telling people since this all started, two things. One, the only person who's been involved in this crossover has been Jordynne Grace. No one else has from TNA. The other thing, and I know the reporting is there will be more, and that's great. But it's NXT. It's NXT talent. So WWE has decided that TNA's importance is on par with NXT, and that's fine. It doesn't mean that they think one is a developmental brand and one isn't. It's more just a presentation thing. I think it's a strategic partnership. I'm just not putting a lot of stock into it for now until I see someone other than Jordynne Grace, I'll use the term, cross the line.
And I think that's fair. Again, I think that everyone working together is great. I would love an Usos versus an ABC, a New Day versus the ABC.
And I'm telling y'all to stop doing that because you'll drive yourselves crazy when it doesn't happen.
I know, but I'm saying, like, I don't want people to see the grass is greener on the other side of the fence and TNA now has to. I think of when AJ Styles was taken, Samoa Joe was taken, all of these people that were like the mainstays. And I think that it's great that TNA has its own stars. And again, I want everyone to make as much money as humanly possible because for my entertainment, you guys are putting your body on the line. But I just don't want their main event seed to get gutted. You know what I mean?
Well, these are categorically different times as well, because this isn't about this has never happened between TNA and WWE or NXT for that matter.
True.
On top of that, WWE hasn't really been in talent hoarding mode. And the third thing is it's been one wrestler crossing over. They clearly have eyes for Jordynne Grace, and they should. They clearly would love to have other stars from TNA join over. But also, you know, guys like Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, those people that came around, Adam Cole was ROH, those wrestlers that came over were doing it at a time when they had already been journeymen across multiple companies over multiple years, and it was their time to get called over to WWE because WWE is considered the apex of professional wrestling. That's not a knock at AEW. That's not a knock at TNA. It's just one's been around forever.
Reality of the situation.
Yeah, exactly. One's been around forever. The other one has been around for 22 years, 5 years, you know, 87 years if you're the NWA, just to use another company. It's more about where that talent sees their goals and if they align with the opportunities presented. That's going to be up to the talent. WWE can easily offer them $1 squillion and some people will say yes, but some people may not want to give up some of them.
What was that number again?
A squillion.
Okay.
Yeah. You're the one who talked about choking, so I'm just going to make up numbers now.
Oh, wow. I don't think, you know what? Wrestling.
Wow. My point being of all of this is until somebody else comes over from NXT or TNA to the others' camp, I'm not putting any stock in anything that's going on. You know, people are saying it really felt like Tatum Paxley was going to challenge Jordan Grace for the Knockouts Championship. I don't know if that's going to do much for people, but we'll see where that story goes after Battleground and on NXT this week. If they bring out a Tatum Paxley, people are probably going to complain because people sometimes think that it's not, you know, on par, but it's about the story. And if the story is there, it's great. If Tatum Paxley comes out, I expect Rosemary to get involved as well because they're playing spooky characters. Tatum Paxley works perfectly for a Dark Realm ridiculous segment. And I don't mean that in a bad way, ridiculous. It's just Tatum Paxley is ridiculous.
I don't know much about NXT, so I can't give an educated or an informed opinion. But I do know that if they bring out anyone from NXT, I personally have seen, I think her name is Lyra Valkyria Russell. Her versus Jordan Grace, I think, would be a spirited bout. And I hate to sound like an old lady, but I think that'd be sports entertainment.
Big fan of Lyra Valkyria. Have been ever since she was just Valkyrie. She's been fantastic. Can't say enough good things. I can say this, though. Continuity issues continue. Because Jade wears a different outfit every night. And I'm glad she does. And I'm glad that she glams up and she looks fantastic. But it really messes with your continuity when she's doing the updo in the silver dress in one match. And then four matches later, she's wearing the black dress with the
costume change. Quick costume change.
Costume and hair change. God bless. Will Chisholm sent a super chat saying, to be fair, Ring of Honor, New Japan Pro Wrestling stole AJ Styles from TNA. That's fair. That is fair. But the point I'm trying to make over here is that WWE is not going to be like, oh, I like this guy. They're not going to just pick him out of nowhere. And some of these people either not going to be picked or just not going to be part of the plans. They're just going to be doing a crossover and that's it. And I don't necessarily think WWE is going to be coming for a purchase of TNA, for example.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm all about more eyes on TNA. So however we get it done, baby, we get it done. And Jordan Grace, I think, and when Deonna Purrazzo was there, and again, I will bring up Josh Alexander. Hell, I'll even bring up Steve Macklin. These guys are great people to have crossover to any brand. These are great representations of what your brand is, what your brand can be, and like the cream of the crop. There are tons of other people, but I think these are the names that jump out to me at first. And even Joe Hendry right now, who's having a mainstream viral moment. These are people that I'm thinking, okay, if I'm going to do anything with anybody, I'm using these people to put eyes on TNA.
And also, let's keep in mind, Macklin, Khan, Eric Young, not Frankie, but there have been plenty of regulars on TNA that have been in WWE and in NXT.
Facts. Sammy Callahan. Wasn't he somebody else with a weird haircut?
Solomon Crow, baby. The original hacker. Mustafa Ali and Solomon Crow need to have a match.
I don't think I will.
Well, instead, Sammy Callahan's DMTV is the next segment up. He's feeling sick because he got the ink from Gresham. He's like, oh, but I always feel like shit. So what does it matter? Thumbs up, thumbs down. And against all odds, Gresham versus Callahan. Callahan says he wants sushi and now I'm hungry.
I said this again and I'll say this before. I'll say it again. Sammy Callahan was spawned from a septic tank. So Jonathan Gresham, nothing you can do is going to hurt this man. He coughs up black ink in the morning for fun and then swallows it back. This is Sammy Callahan, bro. Like, when there are certain wrestlers, I'm thinking, yo, like, just the character. I'm not saying anything about this man personally. I don't know him from a can of paint. The wrestler, the character, yo, I know you stink. A little black ink ain't gonna do it. It's like, I know PCO stink because he's a zombie, same smell. So what's a little black ink gonna do? Like, I'm not worried about it.
Digital Media Championship. AJ Francis captures the title from Laredo Kid. Crest of Star, 20 years of impact. 20 years of luchadors losing on impact.
Bro, I had to explain that to my, again, watching Impact TNA with my friend. I'm like, let me tell you, there are a few things that are constant in impact. And one of them, are you a luchador? Are you wrestling on TNA? You about to lose. Did Laredo Kid even defend that title?
Yes. Wait. Once? I think. Our pal Iridian's in the chat saying happy belated birthday to me and a shout out to the fave Cressa Star.
That's true. Your birthday was recently. Happy birthday, Joel. Hey, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Yes. Guys, my birthday was Saturday.
Give Joel happy birthdays. Send happy birthday in chat. Send Joel super humper chats and tell Joel that he's a super salad. Not a soup or a salad, but a super salad.
Well, it could be a soup or a salad. Hey, listen, if you send me a lot of money, then I can get a nicer hotel for Slammiversary weekend.
And I can go in a suitcase.
Nope. Laredo Kid takes out Rich Swann on the outside instead of Francis, who's down on the mat. Instead, Francis recuperates, chokeslams Laredo Kid for the win. They call it the down payment. I don't hate that for a name. AJ Francis is the right guy for the digital media title. We talked about this before. Laredo Kid, God bless. He's not the dude who's on social media 24/7, tweeting everything, you know, getting the content out there, doing all the things. AJ Francis is. First class, they are. This is the right move for the digital media title, which I'm waiting for someone to pick up the mantle from Joe Hendry, because he was, along with Matt Cardona, the two best champions in that division so far. What is that division? Don't ask me. It's just a bunch of guys and girls going after that title. But AJ's the right guy. What do you think?
I agree. Something chronically online. He's great to have for a digital media champion, considering I feel like not Crazy Steve, but the few couple of people we've had in babyface digital media champions. So I don't hate this. I don't hate this. Again, AJ Francis, people hate him, but he's using it to his advantage. And I think a digital media championship puts him in a position of, you may hate me, you may not have liked what I had said, but you cannot say that the results don't matter. I'm champion. You may not like me, but I'm saying, look at the system. You may not like me, but we're all champion. You may not like what I said, but you cannot say I wasn't funny. So you can be mad, but you can't be mad at results. Now we got to get something for the rich homie Swan, and then it'll be great. But yeah, I feel bad for Laredo Kid, but it is what it is. And I felt like we all saw this coming, honestly, truly. And I think it does put some legitimacy on AJ Francis. What you do with this now is very important. So we'll see.
You know what you do with it now? You take $5 and you subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. Contract news aplenty. We got it literally every day. We're dropping some contract news over on FightfulSelect.com. Sean Ross Abb is out this week, so Corey Brennan is going to be doing the Q&A, but normally Sean does a Q&A. You get access to our Discord. If you want to ask Sean a question at any point in the times, go ahead. It's on our Fightful Select Discord. Best $5 in the business. Mark Henry did an interview this week with us. We have interview notes over there, along with our podcasts and content aplenty. Sour Graps, The Weekender, the list goes on, so forth, and the likes. FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. What are we waiting for? Get in there. Drop your $5. Tell them AJ Francis sent you. Right?
I'm in the Discord. You know, I'm looking at the Discord right now, and I think it's a little crazy that I'm not a mod. It's just a little crazy. Just a touch. You know, I'm not upset. But you know, just a touch. Just a touch. Just a touch.
Tell Mike Straw. Tell Sean. Tell Simon.
Rue.
Next week on the show, Tasha Steelz takes on Danny Luna, Santana takes on Wentz, Slamovich takes on Marty Bell, and the Nemeths team up for the first time ever to take on Ace of Bays. That's a very sad match when you think about it, but it's happening. They do a Jordynne Grace promo ahead of her match at Battleground this weekend. That's NXT Battleground, not TNA Battleground. She's going to be going after the TIA. Wow, see, it did me too. The NXT Women's Championship. going to be Jordynne Grace against Roxanne Perez. She puts over Roxanne Perez, compares their stories. They're very similar, but very different. And she applauded her friends for doing cool stuff for so long, and now it's her time. Now she's going to do it. It's good hype for Battleground. That's this weekend. We're going to be having a post show, not you and I, Cresta, but Alex and Kate will be doing one over here on youtube.com/Fightful. So check that out. Main event, Nick Nemeth defeats Frankie Kazarian. This was a good match. The highlight of the match, Cresta, do you know what it was?
Joe Hendry.
No.
Oh, it's after the
match. That was after the match. During the match, they're out on the side. They're walking around ringside, and somebody yells, "Hey, Kazarian, where's Scorpio?" And as Kazarian's rounding the corner to do the next thing, he yells, "She's at your mom's house."
Okay, I didn't hear what the fan yelled, but I definitely heard Frankie Kazarian say, "At your mom's house." And I wrote, wow, he's really healing it up with this uncle gimmick.
No, man. Scorpio Sky. Where's Scorpio Sky was the question. And the answer was, at your mom's house. And I was like, God, yes.
Honestly, get him, Kazarian, get him.
Oh, man. Last chance for Super Chats and Humper Chats, because they won't be at your mom's house tonight. It's all but Cresta will be. It's all Kazarian for the first half of the match. Nemeth wins. No surprise. A good match. Kazarian is very good at this. Nemeth is very good at this. The post-match is what matters. The system beat down Nick Nemeth, and then Joe Hendry comes out of nowhere. I mean, he's had some stuff with the system, but he makes the save. He almost takes out Moose. Very close. They tease it, and then Lisha Edwards uses the kendo stick and takes him out, and then Moose spears Hendry. Brian hits the implant DDT. Edwards gets the Boston Knee Party. They stand strong. We'll get to the Matt Hardy stuff in a sec, but first, what was the post-match? What do you think of this Joe Hendry revival, if you will, and push?
I think we were talking about this like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't hate that they're pushing Hendry as a serious guy. Now, when the system became champions, I had said that these are a group of guys that are very easy to hate. If the system loses, no one is upset because it's the system. It's Moose. It's Myers. It's Eddie Edwards. So people might complain if a Nick Nemeth came in and took the championship off of somebody like, oh, you just got here. No one's going to complain that a Joe Hendry, even a Nick Nemeth, took it off of Moose. Because Moose's character right now, we hate that guy. Heck him. I think this is smart. Joe Hendry has a lot of mainstream popularity right now. He's got a lot going for him. And he can go in the ring. He looks great. He's great on the microphone. I can best compare him to Charlotte Flair in the sense of you got the look. You've got the poise. You know how to talk. You got the stuff in the ring. You can say whatever you want about him. But unlike Charlotte, he's funny as shit. Like, he's hilarious. He's got a great gimmick. And for better or for worse, he's got a decent enough singing voice where people who don't even know. I've seen so many memes about Joe Hendry from people who don't even watch TNA. And it's like, yo, Joe Hendry's been the guy. I've been telling you guys that he's fine. He can wrestle. He's a wrestling bard. And now everyone's getting on the Joe Hendry train. So he's definitely having a moment. And I think strategically, from a business standpoint, this guy who's having a moment should be your world champion. That is so smart. That is so smart. Maybe not at Against All Odds, but maybe Slammiversary. Definitely. You know what I mean? That's how I would book it.
This has come almost out of nowhere. Obviously, Joe Hendry is a fan favorite, but we talked about this. There hasn't been something serious to put him in contention for a world title. They went from digital media jokester, which was great, to suddenly he is super serious going after the system. And I don't hate that. You and I talked about it. The match against Edward Edwards was like the beginning of that. Bound for Glory, there are rumors about them doing it internationally. We're obviously working on confirmation for that. If we don't get it in time, then they'll announce it as Slammiversary anyway, because that's usually what they do. That being said, if they go international for Bound for Glory, man, Hendry going for the title there and potentially winning it would be a huge deal and a really fun moment.
Bro, that would be so good. And again, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, I think if there's any complaint that I have about the Fed and AEW is that sometimes they don't strike while the iron is hot. I think right now, much like they did with ABC, when the iron was hot, you guys struck and they were a really good tag team champion. I think if you do that now with Joe Hendry, you've got Jordynne Grace getting a lot of attention. After you just had Naomi getting a lot of attention, now you're going to have Joe Hendry getting a... I love these eyes on Impact, and I think more eyes on Impact is more good. More eyes, more good.
What else is good? Sorry, I tried to do it with a straight face. Matt Hardy is unbreakable. He will still be facing Moose at Against All Odds. And apparently, because of whatever Moose did last week, he's unlocked the Broken Universe. They pan out. Matt Hardy has invited Moose and the System to the Broken Universe next week at the Hardy Compound. Oh boy, Crest to Star, Matt Hardy and the System, and the whole house Hardy. And by the way, God bless, it's different now for Matt Hardy and with those kids, because right now you look at those kids, some of them are just like, are we done yet? There were just some moments where I'm looking at one of the kids just looked like he was just bored out of his gourd. I'm sorry, but this, it could be fun. Matt Hardy's gonna have the match in Chicago. It's happening, but they're going to the Broken Universe next week. Your thoughts on that?
I know Moose is with the shenanigans, so this is right up Moose's alley. I don't know how this is going to work. However, Miss Lisha Edwards, girl, I don't know if you ever heard about Matt Hardy's wife, but
she was playing piano tonight.
I hope you can street fight, because Matt Hardy's wife is kind of like Eddie Kingston. I'm not going to tell her wrestling's work. So I don't know what you're going to do in particular. So I hope you can street fight.
I posted today on Twitter ahead of the 20-year anniversary of TNA Impact. I said seven or so years ago, TNA, they were Impact at the time, invited a whole bunch of wrestling adjacent creators and people in and out of the media, in wrestling media, to watch the original Final Deletion. And while they did it, because it had never been done like this before, this was something new. And a lot of people, they filmed their reaction and they did a super cut to promote the match and like, oh my God, it's so crazy, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be amazing. And I said, oh, by the way, tonight, you know, happy 20th anniversary. What I meant to say about all that is you may have noticed, or maybe you didn't, that there were a lot of online streamers, a lot of Twitch streamers who were invited to watch TNA, some for the first time tonight, and they were excited, rightfully so. And they've been invited to do it again next week. And what are they doing next week, Cresta Star?
Delete. Let me tell you guys, I'm so happy because I've seen a few people who were featured on the Federation and AEW TV for streamer reactions. Girls, Weezy Blonde in particular, and Mini Portable, get your coins, honey. More girls in wrestling media, more good too. I think this is smart. I'm just saying they could have invited Joel Pearl and Cresta Star.
We're not streaming the show. We don't do live reaction streaming. It ain't for us.
I would.
No, you could. I don't think I'm. Joel, I think those days are done.
The cat.
those days for me are done. I have moved beyond. My work is not that anymore.
Well, I like it. I think it is great. And I think that it is very smart for companies. We are now in a day and age where using content creators, people who are trusted in the wrestling space, is so smart. Because people, and I have said this even when I started, you can say what you want about wrestling, But a lot of these content creators are getting people excited about wrestling again, no matter where you stand on the side of the fence about them. Some people literally aren't watching WWE. I've had countless messages saying, Cresta, I wasn't watching the Federation for a long time and you made it interesting. I've seen it in 4K with some content creators like Suplex. You know what I mean? This is so smart. You are bringing it to a generation of TikTok kids who might be like, you know, wrestling's fake. I'm like, yeah, wrestling may be quote unquote fake. But did you know that Matt and Jeff Hardy, the stuff that your dad used to watch back in the day, they're still wrestling and they're about to do a house match? I know it sounds crazy, but why don't you sit down and learn you something? Come here, sit next to Deckard Cain, stay and sit a while. And that's how you get people being funny. These content creators are the rappers back in the day. You did it with Dennis Rodman. You did it with all these people. So why not do it with these people now? That's so smart. TNA is really out here using their noodle. They're using their noodle.
And everything old is new again. Impact's 20th anniversary for June 6th, 2024. Cresta Star, what you got going on?
Not much. I live here on the internet. I'm chronically online. I love you all. Anyway, you can find me every Thursday, every Saturday here on Fightful. Every Thursday, I am here with Joel Pearl. We go over all things TNA. I will be here Friday with him going over Against All Odds. I am here every Saturday with Iridian and Rick going over all things Collision. Sometimes I'm on TikTok. I do TikTok selling things, and I don't know what channel I'm going to be on next week. So stay tuned for that. If that was a lot of information, please follow me on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, at Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. There is a link tree in my bio. You can find all the links to my stuff and what I'm doing there. Support your girl. Support professional wrestling. Love each other. You guys are fantastic, and happy Pride. Joel Pearl, where can they find you?
Oh, I'm easy to find. I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. And we'll be back next Thursday and Friday to cover Impact and Against All Odds. We're looking forward to those post shows. I'm in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. That's 10 a.m. Eastern till noon. Tomorrow, Jeremy Lambert's going to be in, but so is SB3, because why not? It's a fun Friday to talk about wrestling like we do every week here and every day. That's what we do. Wrestling. Go outside. Go, well, not right now because it's nighttime, but if you're going to go outside, be safe. Enjoy it. Enjoy your weekend. Till then, I'm at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L, ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. We will see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.